Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. I only have one verse for us to read, so I broke the verse down, and you only have about four or five words each. Okay, usually I have a little bit bigger one, but I really, really want to concentrate on this morning. For you who are new, we're going through the letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, verse by verse. And so we're at 2:4. And it says, but as we have been approved by God, even so we speak, not as pleasing men. Okay. Wow, how do you like that last line? But God who tests our hearts. That's pretty freaky when you stop to think about it. And so let me translate this from the Greek so it's maybe even a little clearer. But just as we have and still are being tested and approved or expecting an approval by God, having been entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men. And when it says men, it really means people. I wish that the translators would do that because it's a generic for all people. Not as pleasing people, but God, who is the one testing with the idea in mind of approving our hearts. Boy, I like that. That's neat. God tests our hearts? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The question is, do we know what the testing is? And maybe even second is, what in the heck does he test us in the first place? Why does he do that? So I read a story this week of a woman who taught toddler-age Sunday school class, and part of the reason she taught it was because her daughter was in that same class, and during one lesson on creation, she was trying to teach the concept as understandably as possible. So she asked the question to the kids, who made the trees? Okay, God did. Right. Then she asked, who made the sun?
God.
Okay, God did. All right. And who made you?
God
did. Okay. And later in the week when they were home, she walked into the living room and the little girl had all these toys strung out all over. And so she was kind of upset about it. And so she said, who made this mess? You know where we're going now, huh? And the girl so proudly smiled and said,
God.
Yeah, God did. Yeah. You know, I think about that, and of course, God didn't. She made that mess, but she thought it was the right answer, okay? And it was the wrong answer, and she didn't know because she doesn't know a lot of things about God, and she doesn't understand. And when we talk about our faith being tested, there's some fog in that, isn't there? There's some fog in the sense that we maybe find it a little hard to figure out how God tests. And I want to address these issues today because many times we make up what we think God is doing because we don't know the scripture well enough. And sometimes as a pastor, I'm even horrified what some people say because they don't know the scripture, and which can actually cause harm in our Christian life instead of richness in our Christian walk. And maybe the reason is that we assume that God will do things that he just flat doesn't. Because we're confused at what the Bible says, and many of us think God creates trials for us and puts us through them. But I don't think that's what the Bible says in general. Let me just quote from James, because I think James gives a really clear picture for us to start at. I want to start with James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh, that sounds like a good start, doesn't it? I love the book of James because you get clobbered by James. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. What the original language is saying, when various pressures fall around you. Doesn't that That makes sense, doesn't it? We get pressures going on around us and we get kind of worried. And knowing that the testing of your faith, and when we say faith, we're talking about trust and belief, right? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what?
Patience.
What testing our faith when various pressures around us fall and trials come into our life? And then he says, but let patience. Now, this is a different word. And this word means the capacity to continue. Isn't that true? Don't you ever feel like when you're going through something, you think, man, I just can't take another step. I can't go any farther. That's just exactly what James is talking about. But let the capacity to continue have its perfect or complete work, that you may be perfect and complete. And when it says that, the saying means wholly mature, lacking nothing. Now we're going to jump down to verse 12. Because he comes back to it. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Isn't that true? When we endure temptation, it's so great. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been tested and approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Do you hear me this morning, or do you hear James? Amen. He doesn't tempt you. I've had people come up and say, you know, I had this affair. God put that trial in my life, that temptation in my life, and I think he wanted me to do it so I could learn some lessons. I'm serious. And I think, oh, that's a great way to victimize your bad choice, right? Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. So I think there's two, let me finish up. And God, nor does God tempt anyone, but when each one is tempted, he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. In other words, we have those, and the desires is lust there, and then we're enticed to do it. Does anybody relate to that? Okay. So here's two principles that we can glean from James, okay? The first one is God does not bring disaster into your life to test us, okay, or to test you. We simply fall into life's trials, and God uses those trials to test our faith. He's always watching. And you know what? I'm so glad God doesn't make them up. I have plenty. Don't you feel the same way? I have enough going on in my life that the last thing I need is for God to invent problems into my life so he can test my heart. And the second one is God does not tempt you in any kind of sin, period. All right. So today, if you're kind of victimizing yourself and saying, you know, God put this in front of me and it was a sin. No, sorry. Today's a wake-up call. That doesn't happen. Never has, never will. God doesn't sin. You are tempted and drawn away by your own lust. So yet God uses the trials and he uses the lust and the fall, whatever may happen in our life, he uses it, those circumstances to test our heart with the idea that we will rise above and be improved. We don't always do that, do we? These principles are important because I have heard repeatedly from people that God creates these trials, as I said, and he tempts us, and he does all these things. I want you to rethink all of that in your life. It's simply not true to God's word. He doesn't need to make stuff up. Now, in Luke 17:5, the apostles ask Jesus, and I love this because it's tied into this, Lord, increase our faith. Because if we increase our faith, then we can get through the trials and tribulations, right? So they say, Lord, in fact, they don't even ask the questions, and they say, Lord, increase our faith. Now, how do you increase faith? I'd like to have more faith, and you'd like to have more faith if that's what pleases God, but that's not an accurate question. I think the disciples asked a question that can't be answered because Jesus doesn't answer it. Well, he does answer it, but in a strange way. And it's not about more faith. It's about stronger faith. You already have faith, right? So it means a stronger faith. And the real question, is your faith strong or weak? That's the real question. Is your faith building patience and endurance and, as Paul says, even hope? It's not about increasing the capacity, the amount, the fill of faith. That's not it. Because we believe or we don't believe. And I have people come up to me every so often and say, you know, I just don't know if I have enough faith to believe. Yes, you do have enough faith to believe. You're just not ready. You know what I'm saying? And so how do we increase this faith? We talked about that. That's not it. It's whether it's strong or weak. It's about endurance. It's about patience. It's about hope. It's about the capacity of strength in our faith. And how do we get that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yeah. So the apostles asked Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus answers it this way. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now look at that. I put a mustard seed so you could see that. It's pretty small, isn't it? It's one of the smallest seeds in the world. There's some that are a little bit smaller, but that's pretty small. Now listen to what he says. If you have faith, and I think he's saying, your faith now, which you consider to be small, right? If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Wow. What's Jesus saying? You've got enough faith. You have enough faith to do a miracle. And we look at it and go, what kind of answer is that, Jesus? You didn't even answer their question. What Jesus is saying here is it's not about increasing the amount of your faith, your belief, or trust, because you have it. And I might add, Jesus says they have enough. Their little tiny, eensy-weensy faith as they follow Jesus around. We don't even get that pleasure. Right? And they're following Jesus around hearing all this, the Son of God, and they're following him around and they're saying, increase our faith. And they have enough to pull up a tree and throw it into the ocean. It isn't quantity that they need, it's quality. It's toughness of your faith that makes life mature and wholly complete. It's patience and endurance, and we can gain in going through trials, and it builds in our life. And so James says, be joyful. Be glad you're going through trials because it's going to build your faith. So here's the secret, and it's not really something that's real exciting, but you can hear this. The truth is, God is loyal to us, so God tests our faith. And we could even say measures our faith, can't we? Measures our faith. As you go through trials to see if you're loyal to him. Is he loyal to us? Yeah, he's totally loyal to us. He's trying to see if we're loyal back. Listen to this in 2 Chronicles 16:9, and you may even want to write that down because this is such a great verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, or throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You want God's strength in your life? then you pass those tests. You stay loyal to him. Now let's look at Abraham's testing, because boy, he's such a great example. And in this particular case, God does put a situation in to test Abraham's heart, because I think Abraham was a little foggy in his heart. And so he goes. So he's told to take his son and go to Mount Moriah. And Mount Moriah is now where, in Jerusalem, where the temple stands now. That was Mount Moriah. And he goes up there to the what was the temple. And let me just read this. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took a knife to slay his son. Now, why? Because God is duplicating that with his own son. So he's carrying Abraham through something that God himself has to do with his own son. He has to kill his own son. Amen? And that's why we have salvation. And so he has Abraham doing that, because Abraham was promised that he would have a son. He gets to 99 years old before he has this son. And now it's his prized possession. And God goes, you're going to sacrifice Isaac on a big rock up on Mount Moriah. And that's a test, right? Woo! Is that a test? And so Abraham puts the wood down, even has his son carry the wood. He puts it down and he gets it ready to go, and he's going to kill him and then burn him, his body, sacrifice to God. And so it says, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord... One of the names for the Christ before he was in the flesh. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Listen. What the angel of the Lord said is what he's saying to us all the time, because sometimes we don't know what decision we're going to make, do we? Sometimes something comes into our life, a trial or a temptation, and we think, okay, I think I can get through this, and it's foggier in your heart, and you begin to walk through that, and God tests your heart to see if you're like Abraham. How are you going to do? I mean, think about Abraham for a minute. He's getting ready to knife, and you know what? Abraham's trust is so much in God, he knows if he kills his son, God's going to raise that son from the dead. Because it was a promise. It was a promise that his son would be many generations. And so he already knew that God would follow through. And in our life, it's kind of the same way. His test to see if Abraham had stronger faith in God and he was willing to sacrifice his only son. We go through trials, and God's looking at our heart to see, are we going to be obedient? Are we going to be loyal to him? And when we're going to be loyal to him, what did the scripture say? He's going to be strong to us. Boy, I like that. He's going to be strong to us. We can get through it. We think we can't. But we can get through it. Talk about a trial in Abraham's heart. I love Job in his sufferings, because there isn't a better example of a guy going through trials for a long period of time. And in Job 7, 17 and 18, it says this: what is man that you make him what is man that you make so much of him, and that you give him so much attention, and that you examine him every morning and test him every moment? Wow. You know, I had to laugh at that verse, because so many times we feel like, oh, where's God? Right? Oh, where's God in my life? Because I emotionally don't feel God right now, which in our life we have emotions that run high and low. Amen? And so during those low times when we don't have as much emotion, we think, well, where is God in our life? And he's right in there, looking at your heart, looking at your heart, looking at your heart, looking at your heart all day long, every day, and seeing what comes out of that heart. Do you realize that God's testing your heart all the time? I think you really do. Just stop and think about it. How many times a day are you tempted or tested and you feel like, okay, I know what God says. I know why I shouldn't do that. These kind of things, because God's in there working in your heart. Amen? Every day you have faith building opportunities. The problem is most of us don't recognize them as those opportunities, and we think nobody's looking or whatever it may be in our lives, and we at times flunk that test. Can we admit that? We flunk the test because we don't even realize the test is from God and it will grow from that. And we don't kill off God because we flunk the test. We get back up and get going again. So if God wants us to live by faith, and if God ultimately strengthens us, the faith that is tested in it is going to grow stronger and grow stronger and grow stronger. Listen to what Paul says, because this is what I've kind of been quoting all the way through in Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5, and it'll be up here if you have your Bibles. You may want to mark it in there. Verse 5, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of us that have been studying theology, we know that that justification by faith is Christ's faith, not our faith. We believe, but it's the fact that Christ had faith and he created peace between the Father and us. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace, that's our part, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Oh, dang, there goes Paul. It was bad enough with James. James says, take joy. And now he's saying, now we not only take joy, but we glory. And oh, man, here comes a trial. Great. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance or endurance. And perseverance or endurance produces character. And that's the testing and proved character. And character produces what? Hope. What hope? The hope that one day we're changed. One day we're going to be with Christ. One day we're going to be living in a new body. One day he's going to come in the air and blow the trumpet and yell our name, and we're going to go up and be with him. That's our hope. And that hope gets stronger and stronger and stronger as we are able to go through those trials and test and be approved. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Trials produce a quality of faith. If you let it produce patience or endurance, endurance with character, tried and approved, and finally, it gives us hope, strong faith. That's where your strong faith comes from, is the hope. And you can measure that. Do you hope for the coming of Christ? Do you love his appearance, like the scripture says? If you do, your faith is stronger. If you're thinking, well, wait a minute, I haven't had kids yet, or I haven't had grandkids, or I haven't got the right job yet, your faith is probably a little weak. That's my guess. So let me summarize this, okay? And if the worship team would come back up, we're going to have a time of the Lord's Supper. We have two stations over there, two stations over here. Now listen, for you who are new here, you participate with us. There's no rules or regulations that keep you away from that. You can participate with it. We're going to get some bread and juice, and we're going to come back and share what the Bible says about that. And so we'll have a song. But let me just talk to you for a few seconds. Let me summarize. We could say this now. God does not bring disaster into your life to test you. We simply fall into life's trials, and God uses those trials to test our faith. Amen? That's the first one. Second one, God does not tempt you with any kind of sin, period. And three, it's the quality of faith we're after, not the quantity. There's no such thing as a quantity. It's quality. Count it all joy when you fall into trials. So let's look at the application here. Let me have you evaluate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, okay? How quickly do you praise God and glory or count it all joy when you go through a trial? Okay, now in your mind, if you say never, then you're down to the 1 and 0 point, right? So some strength in faith needs to happen, okay? When you see trials only as an imposition or of no worth, that's going to be a 1 or 0. Now, the problem is most of us kind of fall into that, don't we? I mean, when some real rotten thing happens, you go, thank you, God, thank you. Yeah, it even sounds funny, doesn't it? If you say, sometimes I thank God and sometimes I'm joyful, which probably the majority of us fit in, I praise God in the problem, you get a 5 out of 10. And if you somewhat see the vision for strong faith, and your habit is to rejoice and be joyful and be glad and glory in it, then when you're dealing with difficulties, then you're up at the 10 mark. So where are you on a scale of 1 to 10? So it's simple. You either have a simple or weak faith, or you have a durable and a strong faith. And it all comes by hearing the Word of God, right? And teaching and growing and spending time in God's Word and praying and building that strength. And then as you go through the trials, accepting them and being thankful for them and being glad, not for the trials itself, but what that trial will produce in your life. Who do you want to be, Christian? Are you tired of being weak? Are you tired of maybe just coming to church and thinking half an hour of preaching for a whole week ought to do it for me? And then you fall, and you fall, and you fall. Or are you the person that really does realize and see God's vision that as you go through the trials, it strengthens you and strengthens you and strengthens you? Is it like Abraham when he goes to slay his son? Are you that strong? Boy, and the strength of the whole thing is that God, the Father, slayed his son. Abraham didn't have to. God did. For you and I. Amen. What a neat thought. Let's just stop here and